Well, good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. I have to explain why I'm here on a Monday rather than on a Tuesday. But I am hoping to fly over to London this evening in order to attend a funeral tomorrow of a very good lady who passed away at the beginning of January. A lady who was the wife of a pastor in London, Dr. Brian Green, who stood with us here in the Free Presbyterian Church over many, many years. He went to heaven in 2017, and his wife lived on after as a widow until January of this year. She was Mrs. Pat Green, and really I'm going over because I know she was a real warrior for the Lord. I knew her long, long ago. And when groups of us used to go over to England to protest, as we did on many occasions, even ended up being arrested and ending up in court. And on one occasion, the magistrate said to me, "I'm sending you to jail for 6 months." And immediately the little clerk in the court jumped up and said, "I'm sorry, Your Honor, you can't do that, because the maximum sentence you can impose is a fine of £40. Now, I was very glad that that wee man said that. And do you know what his name was? Mr. Godley. I thought that was a most strange providence. Well, Mrs. Pat Green was right there in all those protests. And indeed, when 10 or 12 of us used to travel over for the protests, we ended up being accommodated in their home. Pastor and Mrs. Green made room for us, and we were lying in every corner of the house. And that, of course, saved us a lot of money, something we didn't have a lot of back then, rather than having to go to a hotel. So it's for that reason I'm here today, and I hope and trust that I'll be able to get over to the funeral tomorrow. Remember me in prayer, I'm sure. Now we're turning to the Acts of the Apostles, and our text is found in the chapter 4 of Acts of the Apostles, and it's the verse 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. You will remember, of course, we have been looking at the wonderful healing wrought upon the man who was lame all his days. He had never walked. From a baby, he was crippled. And suddenly, as he was sitting begging at the gates of the temple, Peter and John came by, and as a result, he was wonderfully healed by the power of God. And that created a tremendous excitement amongst the many hundreds of people who would have been there in the temple. And such was the excitement and the interest in Peter and John that Peter began to preach. He didn't miss the chance of proclaiming the gospel and telling the people, "We didn't do this miracle. This is the power of God at work." Well, we looked at his sermon, and today I want to just consider the results of it. And you find the results in the text that I've given you, chapter 4 and the verse 4. Acts chapter 4 and the verse 4. Howbeit, that word means despite everything that has just taken place and the opposition that mounted against Peter and John by the religious leaders, irrespective of that, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Oftentimes in the Bible, you have to notice the way that is put, the number of the men. That means there were women saved as well, but we don't have the number of them. But since in the Bible, we often find the women are more devout than the men, it's very possible there were as many women saved that day. And if that was so, 10,000 people converted under one sermon. Isn't that something? That's nearly as many people in Enniskillen. 10,000. Boy, oh boy, would that have made an impact? Especially when back on the day of Pentecost, there were others by the thousand who had been converted. So now, thousands and thousands of people in Jerusalem, the city which had rejected the Lord Jesus, were now devout Christians. What an impact that must have made. Well, we're going to consider the result of Peter's preaching, for it was most wonderful. And I want us to notice that this wonderful result, thousands saved, came about despite the fact that Peter's sermon was one in which he denounced, criticized the people for their sin in rejecting the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to notice that. Peter didn't flatter the people. He didn't speak, as it were, nice, congratulatory words toward the people. But he told them plainly of their sin. And that's something that we must take note of. Because, you know, many Christians think, in order for me to make an impact upon anyone, in order for me to influence those who are not saved, I must be very nice. I must be very nice, not offend them or annoy them. That wasn't the practice of the apostle. And it wasn't the practice of the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you, when you go to the doctor, it's not the practice of the doctor. If you're sick, if he's a good doctor, he'll tell you you're sick. And he'll tell you what you need to do. Even if that which you have to do is not very nice. Like taking old bitter tasting medicine. Or maybe a needle being stuck in you. But he doesn't shy away from telling you. Boys and girls, the gospel preacher, if you're going to be faithful to God, and if he's going to see anything accomplished by his preaching, he has to be truthful and honest and open in telling the people exactly what it was they needed. Boys and girls, the Lord works through his gospel irrespective of the views and the attitudes of the world. We don't have to please the world to have an impact upon the world. And as I say, Peter's preaching here proves that. The gospel doesn't need the world's approval in order that sinners be saved. And I have to say, how wrong are many preachers today who, when they're about to preach, they think, well, now I better say that which will please the people, not annoy them. That's wrong, very wrong. Preachers must get up and proclaim the simple and plain word of God, irrespective of whether it pleases people or it doesn't please people. Because the gospel always offends somebody. The truth of God always annoys somebody. And let me tell you, if you go on as Christians and go out on outreach and handing out gospel tracts, you'll soon discover that just handing a piece of paper with the message of God on it annoys people, and they'll tell you that. The Lord Jesus annoyed any amount, annoyed them to the extent that they crucified him, they killed him. That's how much his preaching annoyed people. It wasn't those who were atheists who said there's no God. No, no, no. It was religious people who were annoyed, the religious leaders. We read in Matthew chapter 15 these words, verses 12 to 14. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying, your preaching? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Their reaction indicated that they weren't of God because they rejected the word of God. And the Savior says they'll be rooted up. They'll not be allowed to live. And furthermore, he said, Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So these leaders showed their blindness by their failure to understand and see that the Lord Jesus was preaching God's word to them. They were blind, couldn't see that. And as such, they were going to end up in the ditch. Only the ditch had no bottom, for it was a bottomless pit of damnation that they would end up in. It's a serious thing to reject the gospel. And the Lord Jesus said, Let them alone. If they're offended, that's their fault, not my fault. I've only set the word of God before them. So Peter's following in the Savior's footsteps. He preached the gospel in such a fashion as to press home the truth, irrespective of whether it annoyed them or not. You remember the word that Peter preached. It says in our text, chapter 4, verse 4, Howbeit many of them which heard the word. So what Peter said when he denounced them as sinners and wicked for murdering the Lord Jesus, that was the word of God. That is what God addressed them with and pressed upon them. Sin was denounced by Peter, for that's God's message to this world. God wants this world to know, and he wants you to know, if you sin, you'll not go to heaven. The wages of sin is death. That's what your sin will earn you. That's what you will be paid as a result of your sin. But of course the gospel says the gift of God is eternal life. 5,000 men believed on that day, and I have already said likely there were as many women, if maybe more, for all we know. They believed what Peter said, even though what he said denounced their sins. They recognized what Peter said was true concerning themselves. Listen, boys and girls, there can be no repentance from sin or of sin if you're not told of your sin. Nobody's going to be sorry for their sins if their sins are not set before them. How often, and I'm sure it's happened to you all at some time or other, you hear the teacher's voice calling you, and you stop and you turn, and the teacher says, Do you know what you just did? And the teacher explains that what you have just done was wrong. And suddenly you feel sorry for being wrong. And you realize, yes, I did do wrong there. And you say to the teacher, I'm sorry. But you weren't sorry until the teacher told you that you had done wrong. And that's the way it is with God's word. We have to be told we're doing wrong before we ever will be sorry for doing wrong. And Peter here was telling the people the wrong that they did, and they repented and believed his message, and they were saved. Then again, you will notice that this was not the only response. We have not yet read that fact, but look at what we read in chapter 4 and those opening verses. We've read the verse 4, but look at what leads up to it. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, And as they spake unto the people, the priests, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold, or prison, until the next day, for it was now eventide. Here's 5,000 men, plus the women, who rejoiced to hear the gospel and gladly believed what Peter said. But here are the religious leaders in the temple coming out in a fury, laying hands on Peter and John and putting them in prison. That's a very different reaction to that which the people who believed the gospel had shown. And in this world there will always be those who have that reaction. And instead of welcoming God's word, they will rise up in anger against the preacher, against the Christian, against the witness. And those of you who are saved, I want you to know this. Now, when you go to the beach and you get on your swimming togs and you go down to the water, you expect to get wet. You can't go into the sea without getting wet. And in this part of the world, without getting pretty cold as well, that's part of going into the sea to swim. You're going to get wet. Well, just as inevitable is the fact that in this world, if you stand up for the Lord Jesus, you're going to run into the opposition that Peter and John ran into. There will be those who will rise up against you and denounce you. And if they could, they'd put you in jail. I want you to know that. That's the price of being a Christian. That's what it means to associate yourself with the Lord Jesus and bear his cross. You're going to be a target for ungodly men, just like it was here. Oh yes, there were those who believed. But then there were others who didn't believe and who rose up in a fury and imprisoned John and Peter. Boys and girls, let me tell you, this world out there is at war with God. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's how we were born. Born sinners at war with God. And if you're a Christian today, that's the result of the mercy of God at work in your heart and life that changed you, and you became a follower of the Lord Jesus, no longer an enemy. That's what happens when you get converted. You stop being an enemy and you become a follower, a disciple, a lover of the Lord Jesus. But if you love the Lord and stand for him in this world, you'll find that the world, generally speaking, is at war with God. Already, some of you older ones know what it's like to try and win, pray for loved ones who are not saved. And when perhaps you speak to them about coming to hear the word of God in church, they're against us. They're at war with God. And they must be saved from that attitude. Be made new creature in Christ. So boys and girls, the world is at war with the Lord. But let me ask you, in the words of the hymn writer, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Which side are you on? Are you on the side of those who are at war with God? Are you sitting at this very moment and saying, no, I don't want to see it? Or are you saying, I'm glad I am saved. I'm on the Lord's side. I will serve the King. Which is it? Which is it? Because one day, it'll not be an old preacher that is asking this question, but the Lord himself is going to bring you before him and ask that question. Are you on my side? Have you served me? Boys and girls, think on this today. Let's bow in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercy and kindness. We thank thee for what you did all those years ago in Jerusalem as Peter preached. The many who were saved wonderfully changed. They had gathered around Peter and John and they were enemies of Christ. But by mercy, as the word of God was preached, the Lord moved their hearts so that they believed what Peter said, and they were saved. Lord, I pray for any boy or girl here today who's not saved. Lord, save them. Lord, save them and deliver them from their own folly. Bring them to thyself. Bless the school and undertake for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.